Sandman Mattress Factory post-match interview.
Yeah, Tony, halfway through that last quarter, there probably could have been some feelings of disappointment. You let the game slip away, but gee, you must be super proud of the way that, the boys hit back, even right up in the last 5 minutes where the game was alive. A couple of turnovers that occurred during that period of time probably cost you, but yeah, really proud the way the boys fought it out and kept coming.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah, I'm proud. I'm certainly probably more so disappointed because, look, I'd like to be beyond those sort of losses at the moment. So probably for us, I am proud that we stuck it out to the end and probably traditionally at the start of that last quarter, if they had kicked a couple, that's probably a, 50-60-point Newcombe loss. I am proud that we do have the resilience and the ability to jump back into games and challenge. But we left too much out there in the second and third quarter to do, and that's probably what's disappointing for me.
And we know how important Logan Wagner is to you. I mean, he's just an absolute beast, and he kept going and almost dragged you across the line off his own back. But I think the influence of Luke Justin can't be underrated with that injury to his head, because the amount of times he had to come off, get it restrapped, he spent a significant time on the bench following that incident and then afterwards as well trying to get it right as it continued to bleed, and perhaps maybe it wasn't at 100%. I feel that he could have, if he was, right and hadn't had that injury, that that 12 points, again, might have tightened up even more.
Yeah, definitely. The LJ's been huge for us, and the injury itself, if you guys have seen it, he refused to stay off the ground, but he's going to be at hospital for a while, I'd say. He's just gone straight there to get stitched up, and I'd say there'd be 12 or 13 in there. So he was pretty brave and courageous to come back on the ground. It does impact you, but you'd like to think you'd have guys step up in the moment. We do have, Deion Johnson floating around, and Taywin Robinson and Sharad Duncan. These guys are all experienced players now. We can't keep saying that these guys are young footballers, and they've all played 50, 60 senior games of footy now. Like, enough's enough. They've got to be able to step up in that moment. So LJ is super valuable, but we probably just had a few guys who were passengers in those moments, and we allowed Anglesey to get their game going, where they just flick inside, and then they get the ball forward with some real chaos, and once they get their tails up there, they celebrate with a lot of passion. They really start to get run on, and I even said that at quarter time. I said they will come out and kick two or three. There's no doubt about it with the way that Geordie coaches. They did that, and we weren't able to stop it.
Mira, thanks for joining us. Was it Logan's kick to the head? Was it Logan's boot that came through that got LJ?
I couldn't tell you. It wouldn't surprise me if that's what it was, because it looked like in the play that it was Logan's straight kick that got him. Yeah.
Was it coming so easy in the first quarter, maybe the worst thing that could happen to that? You played it so much in your terms that sometimes you lull into a false sense of security by that.
Yeah, I actually said to the players in the room, I probably need to reflect as a coach on my messaging quarter time. I didn't sell it to come in and celebrate it or say, hey, look, how good's this? We're ticking this box. And I kept it really simple and said, look, these are the metrics we were looking at, and we're doing those really well. Our system's working. Our pressure's up. Our contest is up. Our forwards are in the game. But be aware, this is what's going to come next. And I felt the message was right, but maybe I should have come in and really put them on notice and said, hey, this has been a danger period for us. We did it against Drysdale. We did it against Queenscliff. We did it against Mottawarri earlier in the season, where we've been on top and kicked 5-6 guys in a row, and then teams have come out and we've gone into our shells. And maybe from a coaching perspective, I should have really put us on notice at quarter time and said, hey, we've got to be careful right now. This is a moment for us where the next 5 minutes we've just got to lock it down and hold control.
I love your rhetoric, Mirror, around that. I've always, I'd mention any level, but the level that I coached was, it's never your top six, it's always your bottom six in your team. Like, you're always going to get favourable value out of your top six. You recruit a Logan Wagner to do exactly what Logan Wagner did today. But you need the bottom six or seven players in your team to lift a little bit to make that 12 points your way and not 12 points the other. That's the difference between your best and your worst, isn't it, really?
Yeah, it is. I've kept it very low key around our injury situation lately. I haven't really spoken about it, but Josh Altamaki are not playing yes. for 12 to 14 weeks. I mean, the guy can get 35 touches yes. and four goals at half forward. I don't know anyone else in the comp that can do that from half forward, and we are missing him big time. Ryan Jackman, we're now at 7 weeks with Jacko. He was the best player in our team 3 years ago. He's massive. Caleb Morrissey, who we got from Leopold, has been our best small backman for probably the last 6 months, and he's out for probably the rest of the season with his shoulder last week. That really hurts. Ollie Paulson, who's from Waratah up the NT, came in great form and broke his wrist against Queenscliff. Look, I could keep going, but we have been a little bit unlucky, and your bottom six is tested in that situation.
That's what I mean. And that's how it comes in, isn't it?
Look, yeah, I think every coach wants to have the next man up mentality. We want to be able to say that we've got some depth in our reserves and we can cover those gaps. And I still think we had a team that was absolutely good enough today, and we showed that in the first and the last quarter. Yeah. But at the end of the day, I think the bottom six in both sides, I think, is probably the difference. I think Anglesey's bottom six probably stood up really well.
Yep. Speaking of, thanks to Sam at Mattress Factory with Newcombe coach Tony Mirabella. Here's Matty Kershaw.
I like to look at positives when we're talking about footy and coaching and things like that. And the positives were that you kept them to two inside 50 marks for the first half. I thought your defensive half was really good and really strong. And I think I mentioned a couple of times the word organised, because they actually looked pretty organised behind the ball at times. Do you think that wavered in the second half, or do you just think it was just the way the game was flowing?
Oh, I think they got on top clearance-wise. So we were about plus 7 or 8 in the first quarter. Yep. And then I reckon the middle two quarters, it swung the other way. And I think we were really organised for a period where we felt comfortable knowing that it was going to come in often. They're the second-rated handball team, second-rated contest team. They always have a high number of inside 50s, and we were prepared for that to be organised. And Todd Webster's and Finn Anscombe, they're really good at communicating around what their roles are. And then you put Andrew Pepper in there, who's played probably 250 senior games, and he's a very calm head. Corey Ogle, I don't know how many games he's played senior games at Newcombe now, 150 plus, and most of them in the back line. So I think we do have the experience down there where guys are very, very calm around the chaos. But I really think their midfield got to the ball first when it went inside 50, and so their mids were flooding back and surging and getting inside their forward 50 entries, and then they were so dangerous. When you get Smith and Kerris and Batson and Ling on the ground first of the ball when it goes inside 50, that's so hard to stop, and our mids just weren't able to quell that, and I really think that's where that chaos and that disorganisation came in.
Yeah, particularly the second quarter when they got on top around the ball. But the first quarter they played a lot of that uncontested brand of footy as well. They had 24 uncontested marks. They changed their game a little bit, but you took it away from them as well. They had to go a little bit longer. Was that spoken about at quarter time, that they're going to sort of change up a few things given that the score was what it was?
I felt their back line was actually a lot more stagnant than what they normally are in the first quarter. Normally, Anglesey are very happy to surge off their off their back line and really squeeze the ground from behind the footy, and that's probably what we picked up on. And then, I think for us, we recognise their backs, like your McGregor Dawson types and Baker. We just felt that they were probably going to come into the game in the second half. The second quarter, and look what they did. They really squeezed the ground up that, up the far end and the opposite to the splashdown end, and it paid dividends for them.
We call the Wombat Gully Plant Farm End Mirror.
Come on, Mirror.
Just to keep
it on.
Wombat Gully Plant Farm End. All right, behind there. I don't even think they're a sponsor of ours.
So thanks. Thank you.
There's your pathway. I'll let you right in.
Well done.
Get down there tomorrow.
Yeah, well done.
Good work. You won't see me.
Get
there.
Your bulbs.
Yeah, I'll be getting the green concrete painted green.
Kingy wouldn't even know how to get there.
I don't know. I drive
past. Joey's have won by 2 points.
Have in
the
end they?
Kicked the last two, Gravy, to make it an interesting game.
We'll go around the ground shortly.
Can I ask you a question about Finn Anscombe? What does he do at
Cricket Australia he works at.
There you go.
He was doing data analytics,
yes.
a bit of recruiting. He was at the Lions, the Swans for a while, and then he's been at Cricket Australia, and he's heavily involved at the moment on the women's side of cricket. So he's down in Melbourne.
He's a very organised-looking person.
He is. The socks up.
The socks up. The jumper's beautifully quality.
He liked it.
He just looks like
it's a luscious head of hair.
there, isn't it?
Looks like he's an accountant who walks out and plays footy.
Yeah, actually, the accountant. Yeah, I actually don't mind that.
Well, so, I look the part, I'm going to play the part.
Absolutely. And not to mention the fact he's a fair footballer, too.
He's a fair footballer. Yeah. You know, he reigns from the Hepburn Springs country. So the borough up there, they were always the toughest team in Ballarat country footy. They were relentless, and that's, he played all of his juniors and senior footy there, team of the year. He was their fullback for 12 or 13 years, and was a superstar up there. And they are a brutal football team up there. Not so much these days; they're falling off a little bit up there.
They're right next to Dalesford, aren't they? Makes it tough. Jared Stafford, can I ask about where he's at?
Yeah, sure. I'm happy to speak to that. Look, Paddy McGinley's really worked hard to put himself in a position to be our ruck. Probably for Stafford at his time in his career, I made a call to give Paddy the opportunity ahead of Stafford. The best part of a month ago, and I just felt the way that our team was playing, having both of them in and on the ground, that it was probably exposing us a little bit around pace. I don't think we can play two rucks, having one up forward and one in the middle. I think Anglesey did play a bit of a dual ruck role last year. Torquay dabbled in it. Drysy sort of dabbled in it with Henderson and Piggott. But yeah. I just think for us, the way we tried it for 3 weeks, And it wasn't working for us. And Stafford at the time was pretty sore, to be fair. He was very sore. So it was probably a mix of soreness and giving Paddy an opportunity. And at the moment, the really challenging thing is that Jared's got two kids that he looks after on a Saturday during the reserves game. And so he's not playing reserves football, which makes it hard for us. So Jared's still very much a part of this club. He's on the bench. I mean, he was running water 2 weeks ago for the Torquay game. He's a part of the fabric of this club and really important to us. And he's available to play. It's a decision that's from the coaching group and that Jared's been super respectful of. He's a big supporter of Pat McGinley and his development, and does come as a bit of a surprise to opposition clubs. But maybe that probably just shows where Newcombe's at as a footy club as well, that we've got to make some calls that are really tough and probably one I've got to reflect on in the next couple of weeks around whether Stafford comes back in.
Well, you're on a handshake agreement with the club. You've been here 3 years now after taking over in the middle of 2023. What does 2027 look like for you?
Yeah. We haven't even had a conversation about it, Matt and I. I don't know, to be honest. I've put everything into this club for the last 3.5 years, and I love this place, and I really hope that we can have a really good back sort of 7-8 games of the season, and we're going to have to take 3 scalps to play finals. There's no doubt about that. I think Drysdale will have a lot back by the time we play them. They'll be strong here. We always have good games against them. Modder, I think that in any given day, Modder can just pop up and have a great game. So we've still got a lot of tough games on the way home. I think for me, I've got to really show myself as a coach that I can progress this team in the next 6 to 8 weeks before Matt and I sit down and agree that I'm going forward, or whether Newcombe needs to go in a different direction. I'd be comfortable with that if that's what Newcombe wants to do. I've probably got us to a point where we've got a really good list and we're probably still missing 4 or 5. I think we're still lacking, but I'll have those conversations with Matt, and if they want me to keep going, I'll be open to it, and if they feel that it needs to go in a different direction and to take the club to the next level, then I'll be respectful of that.
Commiserations today. Appreciate you joining us. Enjoy the break and look forward to seeing you in the run to August, and fingers crossed we might see you on that last Sunday of August in an elimination final.
Thank you, and appreciate your support of our club, guys. I really do. It's you're always right behind the power, so thank you.
Thanks, Merritt. Tony Mirabella joining us, the coach of the Newcombe Power. Thanks to the Sandman Mattress Factory, 2 convenient locations, St George's Road, Nor Lane, and Marshalltown Road in Grovedale.
Sandman Mattress Factory post-match interview.